KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego Arab Film Festival, featuring films from and about the Arab world. The festival screens feature and short films April 4th through 13th at the Museum of Photographic Arts at the San Diego Museum of Art. Information and tickets at sandiegoaff.org.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, March 19th. A KPBS investigation finds several California police and sheriff's departments may be skirting a state accountability law. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A federal judge blocked President Donald Trump's executive order banning transgender people from the military. In the ruling issued late yesterday, U.S. District Judge Ana Reyes said the ban likely violates the constitutional rights of trans service members. The preliminary injunction takes effect Friday, giving the administration time to appeal. Some La Jolla residents want a divorce from the city of San Diego, but the latest effort to secede fell around 1,000 signatures short. The county registrar of voters found some of the signatures were invalid and triggered a 15-day extension for supporters to collect more. Trace Wilson is the president of the Association for the City of La Jolla, which is backing the secession effort.
We're working hard here, so we're kind of taking it step by step right now because it's such a grassroots effort.
A longer-term effort would then include a financial analysis, negotiations between La Jolla and San Diego, and eventually elections where voters would have final say on a split. That might not happen for years. The association has until April 1st to turn in the signatures needed. Vandals damaged an Encinitas Tesla dealership this week with profanity and Nazi-themed graffiti. San Diego County Sheriff's deputies discovered the damage early Monday. The department says swastikas and profanity were spray-painted on vehicles and office windows. The dealership is one of several across the country to see recent protests against Elon Musk. Scripps Health says it'll break ground soon on a $1.2 billion medical campus in San Marcos. In a statement, the nonprofit health system says it's planning to build two medical centers at the site. One will be an ambulatory care facility and the other a 200 to 250-bed full-service hospital. Scripps bought the land in San Marcos 35 years ago and says it now has enough patients in North County to justify the project. According to the Union Tribune, Scripps expects the first center to open in 2031. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Splitero, helping homeowners pay off debt or for home improvements by offering streamlined access to your home's equity with no additional monthly payments or new debt. Splitero provides a lump sum payment in exchange for a share of your home's future value. Learn more at Splitero.com.
Police and sheriff's departments across the state may be underreporting cases of serious misconduct by officers. That's according to a KPBS investigation. I'm joined now by KPBS reporter Scott Rodd, who broke this story.
Scott, to start, tell us more about California's decertification system. How many officers have had their badges stripped for good?
Well, the law was passed in 2021, and this was amid a national reckoning and many protests up and down the state over racial injustice and calls for police accountability. This law aimed to hold bad cops accountable. The law was Senate Bill 2. California at the time was one of just few states without a decertification system. This system would decertify them, would strip them of their certification if they committed certain acts of serious misconduct. We're talking about things such as dishonesty, abuse of power, excessive use of force, things of that nature. It also includes any felonies as well as certain misdemeanors. The process essentially involves agencies and members of the public submitting reports of potential serious misconduct, and then the state will review them, investigate, and make a determination. So the state started accepting misconduct reports in 2023. They were inundated. They received tens of thousands of complaints in the coming years. So far, we found that 300 officers have been decertified statewide, including about 20 in San Diego County. Many others are under investigation, and there's actually a backlog of about 18,000 open cases right now.
You report that the system only works if law enforcement agencies fully participate. But there are many departments around the state that appear to be underreporting misconduct, or maybe perhaps ignoring the law altogether. How many departments are we talking about?
Well, we found that there are hundreds of departments that have reported three or fewer misconduct cases. Some are these obscure little agencies with few officers, so it might make sense that they don't have many serious misconduct cases, you know, like a district attorney's office or a very specific small bureau of investigations for a county or a city. But many are these mid-sized departments that have dozens or even over 100 officers. We're talking about city police departments, sheriff's offices, campus police departments. And this idea that these agencies are not submitting serious misconduct reports was a real concern for Stephen Bradford. He's the former state senator who authored Senate Bill 2, the decertification law.
The real issue is the number of agencies that are not reporting the violations. That's the greatest concern right now, because we know there are plenty of departments who are still not fully cooperating.
And I'll note that there are dozens of law enforcement agencies that not only haven't reported any serious misconduct cases, they also never responded to the state when the state inquired about it.
What are some examples of law enforcement agencies that appear to be underreporting potential misconduct cases?
Well, there are examples up and down the state. The El Cajon Police Department, for example, which has roughly 120 officers, has submitted just one serious misconduct report to post. That's substantially lower than similarly sized departments. You're talking about some departments that are in that range having as many as 80 serious misconduct reports. The El Cajon PD told me that they follow the law and they submit all reports that meet the specific definition of serious misconduct. In Central California, there's the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. They patrol about a 2,300 square mile area in the Sierra foothills. They've reported zero serious misconduct allegations to post. The department has over 100 officers, and I should note that the sheriff's office didn't respond when I requested comment. They also didn't respond when the state asked about this potential lack of reporting.
So, Scott, where do we go from here? Is anyone proposing changes to the law?
Yeah, there are definitely calls for changes. You have advocates who are speaking up and saying, look, there needs to be an enforcement mechanism here, because right now the law doesn't require agencies to actually submit these misconduct reports. So without any kind of enforcement mechanism in the law, that allows agencies to underreport and really just face no consequences.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
That was KPBS investigative reporter Scott Rodd. If you have a tip for the KPBS investigations team, you can send an email to investigations@kpbs.org. Community college leaders in San Diego and Chula Vista are pushing back against the Trump administration's fight to end diversity initiatives in schools. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki.
In a memo last month, the U.S. Department of Education told schools across the country to stop using any kind of race-based preferences on campus. The memo took specific aim at programs like affinity dorms and graduation ceremonies, and said schools that don't comply could lose federal funding. But community college leaders in Chula Vista say their efforts to support racial diversity aren't going anywhere. Mark Sanchez is the superintendent of the Southwestern Community College District.
We just want to make sure that our community understands that we are always here to support them in celebrating their unique identities and what they bring into the college institution, and we're proud of that.
Leaders of the San Diego Community College District said the same. Greg Smith is the district's chancellor. He says their diversity programs already comply with state and federal civil rights law.
They are absolutely compliant with the law, and they're important, right? They are intentionally meant to create and foster inclusion. It's the exact opposite of discrimination.
Still, Smith says his district is already thinking about how to keep those programs going if they do lose federal funding. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
A rise in anxiety and depression among college students remains from the pandemic. UC San Diego students and staff created an app to combat the lingering effects. Education reporter Katie Anasta says it gives students tailored recommendations for campus resources and events.
College can be stressful. Many universities offer counseling, social events, and other resources for students. But on a large campus like UC San Diego's, sifting through all the options can be a daunting task. That's where Willow comes in.
Willow is your go-to app for everything UCSD, centralizing all resources and events that we have on campus into one app.
Jarens Castillo is studying cognitive science. He designed the app. First, it asks users to select what kinds of resources interest them.
You get to select different preferences through each category that we have, such as mental health and wellness. For this, I'll just say relationships, one-to-one therapy and yoga, and then physical health. So we'll do rec center activities, personal growth, and lifestyle improvement.
Then it shows resources they might like based on those preferences, from basketball games and camping trips to career fairs and food pantries. Crisis lines and other emergency services are also accessible from the homepage. Castillo says even he was surprised at all his university had to offer.
Once I started working on Willow, we were looking at so many resources, whether it be mental, physical health, spirituality, and I started to realize how much I don't know, especially as a fourth year.
Dr. Ed Junkins is the executive director of UC San Diego's Student Health and Well-Being. He says students are experiencing more anxiety and depression, but don't know how to help themselves.
We have a great deal of resources for students. A lot of times students don't know how to get to these resources, so they can't help themselves when it's early enough to intervene.
In a spring 2023 survey, 40% of UC San Diego students reported that stress negatively impacted their academics. More than half reported feeling lonely. The state of California appropriated $5 million in funding for the university to create a mental health platform for students.
The interpretation of that call on our campus was to put thought into designing and innovating an app for students by students.
Willow launched last fall after 2 years of work by students, faculty, and staff. Through student interviews and focus groups, the app's designers learned that mental health and well-being aren't just about going to therapy. Manas Bedmata designed the app's artificial intelligence.
A big part of our finding with the students originally was that the challenges with mental health are not just about somebody being depressed, but rather the causes of depression or anxiety or whatever that might be. And that can relate to the overall wellness of a person. It could be your academics or housing insecurity or anything else.
Along with the categories students pick when customizing their preferences, the AI tracks how students interact with the app so it can make better recommendations.
As we get more activity on the app, we start learning a lot more about what is the overall, what I like to call the pulse of the campus, where what are students generally liking or not liking.
He says university administrators could use that data when deciding what kinds of resources, classes, and activities to offer. Junkin says other UC campuses could eventually use Willow too.
We're very excited that the prospect of sharing the app, not only across the system, but possibly even with partners regionally.
In the meantime, Bedmata, Castillo, and other students who worked on the app are already seeing it in action. They're featured in the promotional materials around campus.
To see it throughout campus, to see my friends' faces on like bus stops, like even off campus, it's the coolest thing ever. And to see like my friends say that they're using this, and they didn't even know that I made it. They're like, oh, dude, I saw this on Willow. And I'm like, I made that.
The latest version of the app features collections of resources for different types of students, like freshmen getting to know the campus. Castillo's advice, don't be afraid to put yourself out there.
You kind of have to be shameless when you're on this app, because sometimes some people will think, oh, I'm too cool to go to this. But honestly, taking that away from everything, that's where you find the coolest people.
People also looking to build connections with their fellow Tritons. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
Tuesday, the city of San Diego hosted a career fair for young people who live in its Promise Zone. Reporter Thomas Fudge tells us who was there and what a Promise Zone is.
At the Balboa Park Club, employers ranging from SeaWorld to the military were trying to convince young people their field of work is a good future to pursue. The young people, ages 16 to 24, were invited from San Diego's Promise Zone. That's a federally designated area of underinvestment stretching from Barrio Logan to Encanto. Mike Labruno with the Carpenters Union told us he was trying to give young people a vision of what carpenters actually do.
They could be bridge builders, they could build hospitals, hotels, casinos, airports, you know, and you make that identification with them of what those crafts look like, then they could distinguish on what part of their town they'd like to build.
Other employers, like the U.S. Navy, were offering paths to higher education. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
The National Weather Service says to expect clear skies and sunny weather through the weekend. Highs will be in the mid-60s to low 70s with nighttime lows around 50. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. While you're there, check out the latest episode of Soccer a la Frontera, our series looking at soccer around San Diego. Episode 3 takes a closer look at the women's game. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by PaintCare, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.